Yeah, well, I was asking, so in this business, you have to get up very early every day and work long hours, especially when you were, you just started a business by yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, but hours didn't mean nothing when you're, when you were young.
Mm-hmm. And, so how many years you were, you know, in business all by yourself? Until when you start getting a bigger business and hiring people? For quite a few years, or are you actually?
Quite a few years. Mm-hmm. I was by myself with one truck, I think, 6 or 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting another truck and mm-hmm. hiring extra people.
Uh-huh. At that time, what did your brothers and sisters do though? Did they sort of...
My brother went his way, my sister got married.
Uh-huh. So everybody is by his own, or nobody really...
Worked with each other.
Uh-huh, I see. So 6 or 7 years you're all by yourself. Did you have a name of your own little company or...
WFA company started.
Pardon me?
Started WFA company.
Oh, started the WFA company. Mm-hmm. I see. Because your name was Wu Fei.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And after that, you say 6 or 7 years, you make quite good, or?
Yes, I was making very good.
Uh-huh.
Before the war, I had 4 trucks.
Oh, before the war, you have 4 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
I had 4 trucks, and I had 6 extra workers.
How about the competition at that time, you know, especially when you just started?
Pre-war day competition was really keen.
Mm-hmm.
It was Japanese almost controlled the market at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But how about the percentage of Chinese in this market before World War II?
The Chinese were small. In the Ninth Street market, there was about 70% Chinese. Yes, only one door, two doors. See. And over this market, there were about 5 stores in here.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that was out in the yard, see, with the trucks. And I stayed out there running during the war. I got up to 8 trucks bringing merchandise from different growers in here and selling. Right after the war, I moved inside the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been successful ever since and going on. With a lot of luck, we grew to where we're at today.
Uh-huh. Very successful. And when did you stop going outside, you know, to the farm? You know, like 6, 7 years after you have a second truck, and did you still have to go out, or you have somebody else go out and pick up the produce for you?
I still went out with my truck through 1945.
Uh-huh.
Then I stopped going out, but I would go out to see the growers.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we built out regular growers that would just give their stuff to us to sell and make returns. We didn't need to buy it anymore.
Mm-hmm. So when you started, everything is like in cash business?
Yes, in cash, and it eventually grew that we pay the growers once a week.
Mm-hmm.
We tell them what we sold it for every day and how much they get, but we wouldn't pay them once a week.
At that time, if I may ask, when you first start, how much you can make, for example, for a week or a month or whatever is...
Well, if I made $150 a week, I was making good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, compared to the rent and the food, because you must live around here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You rent a house or?
Rent an apartment.
Apartment. Here. How much did you have to pay?
I recall it was around $40 a month.
Oh, so if you make $150 a week, that was very good then.
Well, from $80 a month, room and board, to $150 a week, that is great.
Yeah, but of course, $80, you don't have to pay for the food and rent, but $150. Of course, you got the money in hand, $150. Yeah, that was very good, especially you were so young at that time. Compared to most of the young men, probably you already starting far ahead. Yeah.
You know, it's awful funny. I had friends, Chinese friends, Wong family, two or three, Don Wong, Tommy Wong, mm-hmm. and Lee mm-hmm. Wall, with four Chinese big boys I used to run around with. Mm-hmm. And they were the only ones that stayed at me with the apartment. They mooched. In other words, they just slept there.
Uh-huh.
That's the custom of the Chinese anyway. When you're single, your bachelors, they all crowd in. Mm-hmm. None of them went on their own. All of them were working. They never went to work for me either.
Uh-huh. But you share one apartment. And,
yes.
You just sleep there. You don't care.
Well, you know
how big the apartment you got, or
it's something we don't hear much about now. But then it was. Well, I would buy a sack of rice. Tommy would cook, mm-hmm. and of course we're in the market. We get all the vegetables. So at 15 cents of meat was enough for a meal. Mm-hmm. Them days, you get a pound of pork for 15, 20 cents. Mm-hmm. So it was very good living.
So the co-op, and then nobody sort of count on pennies and
no.
who wanted shares.
Yeah.
Everybody just chipping whatever.
If they wanted to.
And how about the these other roommates? They all work in the purchase market, or they work in different areas?
Lee Wall worked in a restaurant, uh-huh. and Don worked in a laundry,
uh-huh.
and Tommy Wong worked in the restaurant and the market here.
Uh-huh. So four of you,
mm-hmm.
and. Well, I don't want to make a comparison, but at that time, did you ever think about, you know, which business is better, like working in the restaurant is better than off, or?
Well, I was in this already,
mm-hmm.
so I was doing good, uh-huh. so I stayed in it.
Uh-huh. So you probably was the, making better than the others.
Oh, yes,
uh-huh.
it proved out to be that way.
And working in the restaurant and laundry, do they also make quite well, quite good that they can live on and save some money to these people?
Yes, they did. They meant the all three has bought homes, got married, have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Don sent his children to college. So they all did pretty good.
Yeah. Well, how long did you live in one apartment before you all got married, or it's different time that you left individually?
We did at least 4 years, and then I was the first one to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So just when I got married, I left.
And you left, I see. Where is the apartment, first your apartment, still around?
No, it's on Merchant Street, it's a vacant lot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. At that time on Merchant Street, there are many of these apartments rented to Chinese or
to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Who are the owners? Of those apartments, Chinese or non-Chinese?
No, it was Caucasians. The one that we rented was from Pasadena, the owners.
So at that time, when you were a bachelor, did you cook Chinese food?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You eating Chinese food all the time with your grandparents, with your parents, and
both
American and Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Same as we do now.
Uh-huh. Did you cook some food too when you live with these
yes.
Fellows? So it sounds like a very memorable time.
It was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you got married in what year? Oh, approximately.
Gee, you're going some.
At that time, you already have several trucks.
Yes. Business growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, did you actually expand your buying territory like more?
When I was out in the yard, yes, I was just running locally, which I would say locally is Orange County and LA County. You see, there was a lot of farm ground. Mm-hmm.
So. Before World War II, of course you were already married, and after you got married, did you buy a house or you actually still renting? It was not possible.
Shortly after I got married, I bought a house already.
Oh. And it was around this area also? Where was the house located?
In pre-war days, it was Woodlawn Avenue in Vernon.
Oh, in Vernon? I see. And, so you have sort of a distance to commute then?
No, there was nothing to commute from where Vernon. That's just a 40 block.
Oh, Vernon. Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
See,
I see. And did you have a difficult time to buy that house or?
That house I did. I had no trouble.
Uh-huh. Was that the Chinese neighborhood or?
No, it was a mixed neighborhood.
Mixed neighborhood, uh-huh. And so you stayed there for a while, for a long time.
I stayed there for quite a few years.
Uh-huh.
Till after war. Excuse.
Sure.
Stayed there until after the war. 1952, I moved to where I'm at now. Uh-huh. I had trouble getting in there. That was all Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
I had a double escrow to get the house.
Where is the house now?
It's on Culver.
Culver
Ladera,
City.
Yeah, Ladera Heights, it's called.
Oh. So, how did you get this double escrow? You have a Caucasian friend?
Well, my insurance broker.
Uh-huh.
I told my insurance broker I wanted it there. They wouldn't sell it to me, so I said, you buy it, I buy it from you.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't. So that's how it
worked. I see. But after you moved in, did you have any trouble with the neighbors?
No trouble.
Uh-huh.
Once you get in, they know what kind of person you are. They, you know, if you go to PTAs and stuff like that, show that you are not the crook that they, but I, in a way, all the people was scared, because all they heard about that days was tong wars and gambling and opium dens.
Yeah, they didn't understand.
They couldn't face.
Mm-hmm. So, but when you start, you know, looking at the house and you actually deal with the realtor first, and they say they don't want to sell, they didn't want to sell it to
the
you.
Builder.
Oh, it was a new house.
Oh, yeah, the builder.
Oh, the builder.
The builder says, well, if we sell it to you, we cannot be able to build anything in this territory anymore, see.
Oh. Yeah, I think a lot of Chinese ran into similar problems.
At that time.
But once you move in, everything is okay because the neighbor understands more.
Our standard of living anyway is above average. If you go into that kind of a neighborhood, our Chinese make it a thing to be better than the other one, or just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our lawns up in appearance and train our kids to be right. That's our pride.
Yes. Well, since you were, you know, you're very successful in the produce business, and how about the other Chinese in the produce market? Did most of them actually make made it then, or some of them didn't make it, or?
Well, quite a few of them are successful after made it. Of course, any nationality, there's people that make it can't make. You know? It all depends on the individual.
Uh-huh.
Like you take Wilbur Wu now, Chongqing. He owns Cathay Bank.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of them too.
How about the, was that everybody like the little help can eventually go into ownership or they generally, it depends on individual, but did most of the Chinese actually try to become their own boss or eventually or?
In this generation, no, because all the younger generation that's coming up now has college education. They don't like to put the long hours in. They could become doctors and professional.
So they just came here as a temporary job.
Yes.
They are not looking for a permanent career here.
It's hard to get anyone to step over and take you.
Because it's more or less established now.
Mm-hmm.
But in before World War II, still, you have more chance.
Yes, anyone could start out small.
Uh-huh.
But now when you start into a business like this, your trucks are high, your expenses are high, your labor is high.
Mm-hmm.
So in an operation like us, well, we can't see anything. $1 million don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Have several trucks, and each truck's
and we were talking about the people who started here before World War II mostly can make it, but not nowadays. It's difficult to start with a small business. And how about the other people like Italians and Mexican owners here? You said at the beginning the competition was very, very keen. That how was the competition goes? I mean, how was the relationship among all the and the businessmen here?
Well, there's a few Italians left in the business, and there's more Mexican people coming in.
You mean nowadays?
No.
Right?
The new ones that come in starting. There's several Mexican companies that's growing. That's really growing. The older people like myself are not expanding no more. Japanese, well, like I said before, their sons and daughters don't like this business and they're gradually moving out.
Uh-huh.
They've made the,
yeah.
Kelvita is one of the stores that used to be real good, so they've made their fortune and the children don't want to take over, so they've sold out to Mexicans.
Uh-huh.
There's the Tokay Produce, it's Japanese, that's recently sold out to another Empire Produce. It's a mix.
So like not very many produce market here were like continuously operating from the very beginning till now. So most of them like made it and they will leave if the children did not care to.
Yes.
Take over.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Japanese actually probably stopped dominating this produce market after World War II or just before World War II because they have
yes.
to
After evacuation, they never did get back in strong.
Did Chinese actually get in when the Japanese got out of the business? The Chinese actually had more chance to come in here?
No, the Chinese would
actually were moving out too.
Yes, well, the Chinese had the small stores before, prior to the war,
mm-hmm.
and they kept it and they grew big when they had to evacuate the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I can say about the Chinese, they were dumb. They had the leases here in the market, and when the Japanese came back, they sold out. The Japanese sold the leases out to Japanese.
Uh-huh, I see. How did Chinese expand here? They sort of lease more and more space, or they start very small corners and they would expand, or what? How they do it?
Well, by the leases.
by the leases.
So we carry a lease here.
Uh-huh.
It's good for X amount of years.
Okay.
All right, so if my neighbor wants to move out or buy him out, I'll buy it, and that's how I expand.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way they did down the other market, too.
Uh-huh. So like, for example, it looks like you have several markets here before you expanded. This is like combining how many markets you would say?
Just two.
Just two? So there was big markets when you started
stores,
with that.
Mm-hmm.
Big stores. Uh-huh. And this is still on the basis of a leasing?
Oh, yes. It's all Southern Pacific property.
Uh-huh. I see. And now most of your helps are Chinese or Mexican?
No. They're mixed. Color, Chinese, Mexican. This is all union help in here now.
Uh-huh. But when you started, your help were?
Non-union.
Non-union.
And most of them were Mexican help that I had, colored and Mexican.
Uh-huh. Did you have any Chinese help though before?
Oh yes, a Chinese dispatcher, Chinese cashier. But now, Chinese are coming in from Hong Kong and Taiwan,
mm-hmm.
and Vietnam, and all that coming in, they're working here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good paying job, and the union people are paying. The help on the floor gets, $380 a week.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to have no education.
That's pretty good.
I think it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of fringe benefits. The fringe benefits is one of the best. They get dental, hospitalization, get pension, and so glasses. So there's real good benefits on them.
When was these union people start coming in? Or when did they start forming the union?
Right prior to World War II.
So before World War II, before they had the union, most of workers just have to do, whatever they can get, and not much fringe benefit.
They were lucky to work for $20 a week, 10 hours a week, 12 hours a day. That's before the union.
I see. Uh-huh. So was there any organization that most of the owners here joined?
And we got an association.
Uh-huh.
The owners association that formed when the union came in.
Uh-huh. That's after the union came in, not before the union came in.
Just about the same time.
About the same time. So what is the association's name?
There it is on the board. Produce.
I have to read it later.
Yeah, the Produce Market Association. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was there any like earlier Chinese organization in here around?
Yes, we had a Chinese association that was formed way back in the 30s.
And that's all Chinese owners, Chinese
yes.
businessmen here.
Mm-hmm.
And for what purpose, though? At that time, there was no union, and
more social.
Social.
Mm-hmm. We still have it.
Oh, you still have it?
Mm-hmm.
And how many members when you started? I believe that you were in the organization when it started, or
no,
you were not.
I were.
Uh huh.
I don't know how many. I still don't know how many.
Uh-huh.
I'm a
but
member.
You are a member now.
But
though.
I pay dues and that's it. So.
Do you go to any functions occasionally?
No.
Uh-huh. I see. And most of the Chinese here still sort of get together once in a while, although, whoever want to join. But did you have a lot of friends, like a Mexican friends and Italian friends around here when you work here, or it's because you all competing each other that it's sort of hard to get along?
No, we have a lot of friends. Uh-huh. And we have meetings here, our association meeting once a month. Uh-huh. The Chinese produce merchants still have a meeting once a month, and they have a banquet once a month, but I don't go.
Uh-huh.
But here we have meetings once a month to discuss different customers and what the union is going to do, what laws that the state's passing against us. We have all that. That's association work.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
I see.
And although we are competitors next door, we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we sell to the same people. Mm-hmm. We do the same delivery. And we sell practically the same merchandise. Mm-hmm. But you will buy from me and he will buy from him.
Oh. See?
So it's not that competitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We sell to all the chains, so next door sell all the chains.
Mm-hmm. How about after work, like after the business hours, and did you go out with these non-Chinese merchants and to places, or was the friendship just ends? When you are in business.
No. We have dinners with the different people, and we go out to have lunches or something. It's socially too. But for myself now, at my age, I cut down all that. I don't drink no more.
But before you would associate with them?
Yes, we'd drink and we'd go out to have lunch, and most of the time we'd have lunch because we have to work early. See, we very seldom go out for dinner. Maybe once a week or once every month, there's proud, and once a week with another crowd, we go up to have Chinese dinner or go out to have American lunch in some place. But as you grow older, you don't do them things no more.
This is a good place to get to know non-Chinese, because some of the Chinese living in Chinatown, probably they associate most of the Chinese and they didn't have chance to associate with non-Chinese. But here you have more chances because they have mixed groups here. So you did have a chance to associate with them.
My case, I never did have much Chinese to be associating with.
Uh-huh. Oh, because you were out of Chinatown and you came into the produce market. Uh-huh.
Then I was on the ranch when I was young, see, so... But I still have a few Chinese friends, I believe.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And how about, were there any Caucasian, namely non-Mexican, non-blacks, non-Chinese? Were there any Caucasian here in the produce business?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of them. Our next door neighbor is Jewish.
So, how were these Caucasian, treat the other minority people? Or here, everybody are the same.
There is no minority or anything else in the
produce. You just do business.
Yes, in the produce business, you're judged by what you do,
mm-hmm.
regardless of color or nationality.
Mm-hmm. So. Was there any other discrimination instance occurred other than buying property, buying house?
No, not in the produce business. I don't never run into anything like that.
So when you went out and buy produce from the farmers and never have
no,
problem?
It's just your reputation. Mm-hmm. Your reputation and what you do, how you conduct your
The reputation means that you pay a...
Pay good, treat fair.
Mm-hmm.
See, on this commission business, you handle other people's merchandise on a 15%. And if we happen to be lucky and sell higher, our reports go back to them, and our reputation builds on theirs.
Oh, I see.
And as we pay promptly, it goes that way.
Mm-hmm. This sort of produce business is more like a commission... A base,
mm-hmm.
that you get a certain percentage from
the
produce you sell. Uh-huh,
we have field men all over the country.
Uh-huh.
Like out in the San Joaquin Valley, we have field men down in the central area, we have field men. And they solicit the produce to come in for us to sell, to handle.
Ah, I see.
And that was one of our field men there.
Uh-huh.
talking about one Mexican grower said we didn't pay him, see.
Uh-huh.
And we got canceled checks and everything already.
See. I see.
But they don't understand English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult.
To explain to them.
Well, you cannot communicate. It's difficult. So how about early days, though? Your field men will be not as far as nowadays.
Well, the early days, I was a field man.
So you have to negotiate with the...
Yes, the growers.
The growers. Uh-huh. But then in later day you started getting bigger and bigger. Your field men actually also going farther and farther. And how far is, like you say, San Joaquin Valley, you have field men, and how far up to north or to east?
Stockton, we have the farthest north of Stockton.
Stockton.
Yes, in the south, down as far as the border.
Border.
And we have one in Nogales, mm-hmm. representing us that crossing for anything from the Mexico side to the Nogales side.
Mm-hmm. When did you deal with the people from Mexico? I mean, you know, the produce shipping from Mexico. Oh, was it after World War II or?
Yes, after. Mm-hmm. Before World War II, I was just practically local.
How about the produce that you provide, mostly American produce or vegetables or Chinese as well?
I don't handle Chinese vegetables.
Oh, you don't handle Chinese vegetables, I see. So from the very beginning, you handle with these...
Mostly American